Welcome back to the podcast with the postgame show from the Ohio State spring game. It's Doug LaMaurice. It's Bill Landis. Bill Landis is there in the press box at Ohio Stadium. I'm in my house because my body fell apart, but it's good to be back with you guys. We're going to talk about, I watched it. I watched the whole thing on Fox. I got to tell you, we don't like to swear on this show. It's for kids, right? A lot of grab ass on the broadcast, man. Like it was, I was like, can I just see the third team offensive line for Ohio State? And they're just like, hey, everybody, like, let's have Jenny Taft juggle now. So Landis, I wish I would have been there with you.
Yeah, I had the stream playing on my computer as the game was happening, but I wasn't listening to it. But I saw enough comments of like, I just missed this play or I missed that play. It's like, I want to watch all the plays. That's what the spring game is for. It's not, I don't like, it's great to see all the Buckeyes back. It's awesome that they're all here, but we all know them. We all love them. We know what they look like. We know what they sound like. Let's watch football.
Yeah, it was strange because this is the first time this had happened, that it was a national Fox game. So they're playing to the national audience, and the national audience doesn't care who the third team left guard is for Ohio State. But you really care. I kind of care a lot. And there are Ohio State fans that care. So it's not for Ohio State fans when it's like, it's a practice game in April. Who is that actually for? But there was still enough to learn, enough to go through. Again, thanks to everybody who's joining us here. We'll be talking about this a lot more in the next couple months because this is our last chance to look at anything. But there's a couple big things we need to hit, and we'll start with the quarterback situation. And that is Devin Brown versus Will Howard with a little dose of Julian Sand and Lincoln Keenholz and Air Nolan sprinkled in there. Two things I think can be true at the same time. And see if you agree with this, Bill. One truth is the Ohio State defense is excellent. And that obviously factors into how quarterbacks and the offense looks in a situation like this. The other is if either Dwayne Haskins or Joe Burrow were in this quarterback battle the way they were in the 2018 spring game 6 years ago for Ohio State, we'd be like, that's it. It's over. Lock it up. Everybody else can transfer. So, except Julian Sand, keep him around for next year. But like that idea is, you know, you don't get a full-throated quarterback battle every spring for sure. And that's not fair to be like, oh, the Heisman winner, the number one pick in the draft would be better than Will Howard right now. But like, you know, that was a time when we had a full-throated, this is what a spring quarterback battle looks like. And 6 years later, it wasn't quite that on Saturday, was it?
No, it wasn't that. But also, like, I don't know that Ohio State necessarily embraced the opportunity for it to be that either. Will Howard threw 13 passes. Devin Brown threw 7. Neither of them played in the second half. And there was certainly an opportunity for Ryan Day to, like, kind of, like, only play those two guys or mostly play those two guys. And that definitely did not happen, which is – I think a little odd, and Ryan Day started this press conference like immediately, so like I missed half of it. So I actually don't know if he was asked about that or not. He wasn't up there in the second half of it that I caught. He was not asked in that portion of it, but I think both guys like got good work in this spring. But throughout spring, Ryan Day said there was multiple times like, "Yeah, we're kind of just rolling the quarterbacks. Doesn't really matter who's out there. We're just letting them play." And I kind of thought it was BS. But it also happened every time we were out there. And then it happened in the spring game too. Yeah. So it's like, did you have a competition or are you just like making sure everyone feels good / uncertain about where this is going in an effort to make sure that everyone's here come fall camp, which I kind of think is what they were doing.
They played for the tie. They want a tie. Yeah. It's like, what's your decision? It's like, there is no decision. We can't make a decision. It's like, well, you could have made a decision if you had decided to make a decision. If you had chosen to have a competition, maybe you could make a decision. They don't want a decision. Do you think it's tied right now? Do you think Devin Brown and Will Howard are tied with Julian Sand hiding in the bushes?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's how I would describe it, I think.
You would describe it as Julian Sand hiding in the bushes. I'm glad we're on the same page here.
Yeah, like, well, I will say, like, there was an opportunity today, too, for, like, Julian Sand to come out and be like, huh, this is the guy. And, like, he was fine. He looked like a freshman, yeah. I think. But which is not the end of the world. But, no, I don't know. I don't really know how you could feel any other way then this is tied coming out of spring ball, like mostly because like Ohio State has set it up that way.
Yeah. A lot of check down talk on the broadcast. A lot of Brady Joel Klatt check down jokes. So I guess it makes sense, like from a portal standpoint, like nobody's going to leave, or, you know, Devin Brown's not going to be like, that's it, I'm out of here, because it's like, talking about you're out of here. You haven't even taken your best shot yet. They did. There were some good questions in the news conference with Ryan Day, Jim Knowles, and Chip Kelly about, like, what are you going to tell them? What do they need to know? And Ryan Day and Chip Kelly both said, well, like, we're going to tell them kind of where they stand, but also nobody is going to name a starter, it seems like, certainly not publicly, but not privately either. What did you gather from how you think Ryan Day and Chip Kelly are going to talk to these guys about this in the next week?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to tell either Will Howard or Devin Brown, this guy is ahead, right? It feels somewhat similar to me about the conversation that happened with Dwayne Haskins and Joe Burrow, where like I guess the situation is the same, but I think the discussion points will be different. Like I think in that situation, they did tell Joe Burrow, like, Dwayne's ahead. Like, we're not naming him the starter, but Dwayne's ahead. Yeah. I don't think that'll happen here. I think they'll probably say, like, we like both of you guys. We think you put in good work this spring. We can see either one of you being the starting quarterback here. We want to take this into the summer and see how it goes. So it'll be maybe more detailed than that, I think. But I think they're going to try to do everything in their power to make sure that Will Howard and Devin Brown both think they have a shot to win this job in camp. I think the conversation could be different with, like, Lincoln Kienholz and Julian Sain and Aaron Oland. Like, you know, maybe Lincoln needs to know a little more definitively whether or not either of those two freshmen are viewed as ahead of him. And, like, I know Lincoln didn't have the best game today, but I think throughout spring he's had moments too where the staff has been really pleased with the progress that he's making. But that's like a separate conversation, I think, to have with the quarterbacks. But the top two guys in the room, Will Howard and Devin Brown, like I think they're going to try to massage it as best they can to keep them both here.
So it was funny. It was such a different broadcast. And I don't know that we'll get into it a ton today. Like, I love it. Did you think it was like a fun spring game? Like, did you have a good time? Was there a lot of, there's 80,000 people there. They announced as the attendance, 80,000 plus. What'd you think of the vibes?
They got better as the game went on, I think. It was slow, right? The offense ended up not scoring a touchdown until pretty late in the second quarter, I believe. But I also think, too, that I think this was a crowd and a fan base that understands how good this defense is and is going to be. So they're, like, not necessarily on edge or put on edge by the fact that the offense, like, wasn't humming out of the gate in the spring game. So I thought it was a decent vibe, like, really good crowd, like, good energy going into it. I think people just, like, excited to be here on a nice day. And then it picked up energy-wise later in the game when, you know, the second and third stringers were out there and the team started moving the ball a little better.
One of our guys, Jim, who's been, like, a longtime listener, I saw on Twitter, he was like, oh, last year Doug told me to go to the spring game and it sucked. My kids wanted to leave. And I was like, what happened? What did I do? So I'm kind of interested and invested in the idea of, is the spring game experience as good as it can be right now? And the way this is creeping it, and that it was on Fox, and I maybe the Fox thing's not that big a deal, but it felt like to me almost like, shouldn't you just have Purdue come in and play an exhibition game? You know, like that. How close are we to that? That Purdue played its spring game, and there. And again, most schools don't draw that many people. You know, Ohio State does, Nebraska does, a few do. A lot get a smattering, and so it's like it wouldn't. You know, you could have your fans come in for another open practice, and then let Minnesota. Minnesota didn't play a spring game this year. Let Minnesota come scrimmage Ohio State in Ohio Stadium. Wouldn't everybody think that's fun? Like. Or have it be more of a carnival. Urban did a good job making it a carnival. Let's have people race each other. Let's have Kerry Combs race Braxton Miller. Who doesn't love that? But it's clearly not that. But I wonder if they could creep more toward a real exhibition kind of thing where you play a lot of twos and threes, which is what the NFL does in exhibition games. But I'm just worried that I'm, as a proponent of the spring game, I'm worried it's not everything it could be at Ohio State.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would like to see the scrimmage thing. Maybe not against another Big Ten team. That's probably a hard sell. But, like, I don't know. Can't, like, Akron come here? Miami, Ohio come here? And I think maybe Nick Saban has talked about this in the past. Like, have, like, Alabama play UAB and have Auburn play like South Alabama or something. And you could certainly do a similar thing in Ohio with all the Division I programs that are in this state. It's a question of roster size. I think like Ohio State had a pretty robust roster situation this spring. Last spring they did it. Last spring they had like 30 scholarship defensive players. So like that fluctuates probably a little too much for something like that to ever really take shape. But I do think that is a way to like save the spring game, is to make it more of like an NFL preseason kind of game against another opponent. But I as someone who has thought the last couple of years of Ohio State spring games have been like a little flat, like this wasn't fireworks, but I thought this was a little better and had a little more juice in the building.
Okay, so back to the football. Mm-hmm. Do you think the Devin Brown Will Howard tie is, hey, two good quarterbacks are tied, hey, Ohio State can win with either of them? Or do you think the Will Howard Devin Brown tie is like, nobody seized it, I don't know?
I think I'm probably more the former. I'm not super concerned about it, only because like I still think like Will Howard's going to be the starter because Ryan Day keeps talking about Will Howard's experience. Like skill set wise, I think he and Devin Brown are like kind of similar. Devin might have a stronger arm. Will might be a little more a little better with like the intermediate short stuff, a little more consistent there. They're kind of different in that way, but like it's not like one guy is worlds better than the other. Like I don't, and like Will Howard, I've said this before, like it wasn't like Ohio State went out and brought a top 10 quarterback in college football into its program this year. They brought in a guy who's like pretty steady and very experienced and has won a handful of big games. And I don't think he'll be rattled by anything. And ultimately I think that steadiness is going to win him the job. But I don't know if that's the kind of thing either. Like if that's the best attribute of Will Howard, I think that's ultimately going to win him the job. I don't know if that shows in 15 spring practices. I think it has a point and will continue over the summer and then will in camp. And that's why he'll ultimately win the job. But I don't know that I entered spring thinking that there was going to be like a tremendous gap between him and the rest of the quarterback group by the end of it.
So one of the better things today was like, they were really talking to Ryan Day a lot during the game. And on one of the things was, I guess the first touchdown, right, was Devin Brown to a walk-on receiver off an RPO. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And they were asking, like, they said, like, they kind of were talking to Ryan Day and he's like, hey, the key here is like, got to get it out quick and that kind of thing. And Brown threw the touchdown pass and they said, did he get it out quick enough? And Ryan Day said, no. And like, wasn't joking. Right. And there were a couple things where he was talking a lot during the course of the game about, you got to get the ball out. You got to get the ball out. He was super mad when Lincoln Keenholz took that sack. I guess it was late in the first half that made a longer field goal. He was like yelling at him. He was like, you can't do that. You got to know the situation. But generally, just with everything, he wants a quick read and the ball out. So knowing that's how he was focused on that during the game. Quarterbacks get the ball out. Post game, Chip Kelly gets asked about Julian Sain, and he says he talks about his processing and how quickly he processes as a true freshman. And if they're really interested in that, there's two things here that I want to talk about the quarterback situation, but that processing, bing, bang, boom, here we go, get it out. Do you think Julian Sain is the best of the group at that? And how do you think that might factor into any of this?
I mean, it's hard to say because we've not seen Julian Sain play a college game, right? Like the Chip Kelly says it, I think is noteworthy. And I would probably be inclined to believe him, like based off watching Julian in high school. Like I thought the thing about Julian Sain that stood out the most is just like his feel for things. And I feel like whenever Chip Kelly or Ryan Day in evaluating a quarterback says like, this guy sees it well, that's like alarm bells in my head, which is like, they think this guy's got it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Julian Sain has it like right now, can go beat Michigan tomorrow if they're playing. Cause I actually maybe think he's not quite equipped to do that yet. I think there's a lot of things that Julian Sain needs to work on this summer. That if he does, I think could position him to actually play in the fall for sure. But I don't know that like I'm not coming out of spring thinking to myself like, well, Howard, Devin Brown better watch out because Julian Sain is going to start against Akron. But yeah, they might want to watch out because if they're messing around in the middle of the season and Julian Sain sitting there, like maybe that's when he can creep up on them and take that job.
So they were leaning a lot into Urban's like view of things. I'm going to give you an Urban Meyer quiz later on, unless you caught it on the broadcast. Did you catch Urban's eight teams that can win the national title? Mm-hmm. Urban had a list. I'm going to make you try to guess the list. You can start processing that yourself. Okay. It's going to be eight. Right. I started processing it when he first said it, and I was like, begged the question here. He said, I think there are eight teams that can take a swing this year. And I was starting to write them down. And then at the end of this show, the broadcast, they finally showed them. They also had like Urban's intangibles and tangibles that separate great teams from championship teams. And most of his tangibles were like great players at every position, great players at this position, and great players at this position. It's like, okay. I mean, he literally had like as separate things, defensive front seven, offensive line, and corners. And it's like, well, that's literally the whole team plus playmaker at quarterback and then talent. So it's just good players, five different ways to say good players. But he did have playmaker at QB as his number two thing.
Yeah.
That separates great from championship teams. There's like making the reads. They only threw it seven times or 13 times today. What do you think of Will Howard and Devin Brown as potential playmakers at quarterback? And that's arm, legs, gumption, reading it, under pressure, third down conversions. What do you think of playmaker?
I think it's interesting the way that Chip Kelly was like talking about the quarterback role. Like we're all kind of like fixated on quarterback role because Ryan Day's talked a lot about it. But then Jim Kelly said, like, we're not talking so much like calling zone read 15 times a game. It's a lot of scrambling stuff, like making defenses pay for not accounting for you, which is interesting to me because like that is not what Will Howard did at Kansas State. Like he was a productive runner. He was a productive runner, but it was like almost all designed. And Devin Brown, I think like his little bit of rushing production at Ohio State has been almost all designed. So it's not to say that I don't think either of those guys can be that kind of playmaker. I just don't know that I've seen a whole lot of evidence to support it at this moment. But like we saw it today, right? Like Devin Brown took off a few times. I think Will Howard might have took off once. I also think playmaking in Ryan Day's mind can mean like navigating a pocket and not necessarily running the ball. And I think Will Howard does do that actually pretty well. So like it is important. I think they have put more of a premium on it in putting together this quarterback room that maybe Ryan Day did certainly last year and even the last couple of years. Like CJ Stroud could do it, but like obviously that wasn't the thing that he did best and the thing that he was asked to do a whole lot until the Georgia game. But I think that I don't know, maybe it was like the poor offensive line play last year that like opened Ryan Day's eyes to like they need to emphasize that a little more. And I think it's just maybe more in Chip Kelly's DNA as well. To emphasize that a little more. So I think it's important if you're asking me like which of the two guys we think could be the starter is better at it. I don't know that I have a great feel for that.
Last thing on the quarterback, and we're just talking about quarterback because it's the most interesting thing to come on and be like, they're 19 deep on defense. They have 14 first round picks on defense is a true fact, but also I think we knew that before the spring game. And we are also acknowledging the fact that anything the offense didn't do, a lot of it was because of things the defense did do. Joe Klatt, right, was down in the field, and he's standing there like, hey, how's it look down there? He's like, nobody's open. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
How's this quarterback battle going? I don't know because nobody is open. Davis and Igbignosen was like, I own this stadium today. It was like.
Yeah.
I think Davis and Igbignosen is going to be a first-round pick when he leaves here. Do you agree with that?
That's funny. We were at the coaches' clinic on Thursday night, a few of us talking about that. And I feel like I'm a little higher than like maybe some people covering the team on Davison, but I still question whether or not he has the man coverage to be a first round corner. But I think he's gonna be really good this year. I think he's gonna be much improved. And I thought he was good last year, but I think he'll be much improved this year. And like I took notice of him today too, just like kind of owning his side of the field. Until they took him out of the game and then things opened up a little bit. So
long and physical and wants to get after it. And then that's the foundation. And then there's a lot to work with there. Again, maybe he'd be a guy that you have to play him in a certain system. And do you want him matched up on Tyreek Hill one-on-one in man coverage all the time? No, but he's like an octopus, man. Like he's good.
Yep.
Chip Kelly said afterward, and it's, you know, we already have like some of the Chip Kelly shorthand. I was like, I've heard you say that before. He said the same thing today. I think he said the very first time he talked to us, which was most quarterback battles resolve themselves organically and authentically. And he said, usually it winds up being pretty obvious. And my response to that is, are you sure? I actually think that might be a lie. And I'm not sure it resolved itself organically and authentically last year at Ohio State. And I'm not sure it was obvious. And I'm not sure it's going to be organic, authentic, or obvious this year. I think it might be a freaking grind, and they're going to have to make a choice between two guys who are both capable but very tight, and neither of them are Heisman contenders. So I understand why he says it. I'm just not sure it's true.
Yeah, no, I don't know that it's true either. Maybe it's true more often than not, but like it wasn't true for Chip Kelly last year when he was trying to figure out who UCLA's quarterback was going to be. He started three different quarterbacks.
Ask Ethan Garbers how authentic and organic it was at UCLA last year.
Yeah, I suppose if you in the regular season, if you organically / authentically take a loss, then maybe that's how that shakes itself out. But no, I don't know that I don't think it's going to be like 100% clear cut who this team's starting quarterback should be when it comes time to make the decision on who's taking the first snap against Akron.
And it's just interesting because it's a team led by a quarterback guru that had the greatest quarterback play in the history of the program the moment Ryan Day got here, from Dwayne Haskins to Justin Fields to CJ Stroud. And now they are an absolute national championship team in almost every single way, except maybe quarterback, which is just fascinating. I certainly do not think this is not like panic mode, but it's certainly interesting mode. All right. I don't want to only talk about quarterbacks. What's my second note? My second note is, will Jeremiah Smith be the greatest freshman in Ohio State history? You maybe didn't hear these. Most of the people who are watching this, I don't know that there's a ton of people who would be like, I'm not going to watch the spring game. I'm just hoping Bill and Doug do a live postgame show. I'll tune into that. They'll tell me what I need to know. But I wrote down, these are the comparisons that the Fox broadcast team made about Jeremiah Smith. Brady Quinn said, I live in Florida. I watched him play in high school. The guy he reminded me of was LeBron. Okay. That's one. Somebody reported, I'm not sure if this was on the Fox broadcast or the pregame show maybe, that James Laurinaitis told somebody that there will be no drop-off from Marvin Harrison Jr. to Jeremiah Smith. Okay. So we got, he's LeBron, and there's no drop-off from the best receiver in the country to a true freshman. Urban said he talked to Mark Pantani. I felt like there were a lot of off-the-record conversations that the announcer was just like blabbing the whole time. It's like a coach is like, Wister, don't tell anybody this. And then Urban's like, here's what I learned. He said Mark Pantani told him that Jeremiah Smith is the best first-year player he's ever seen. And he was hanging around at Florida for a long time with some national champion, first round draft pick kind of guys. And then Urban Meyer said that Mickey Marotti said, like, the only person that he can compare Jeremiah Smith to as a first year player is Percy Harvin. And Percy Harvin is like, whenever Urban Meyer or anybody from his crew says Percy Harvin, the lights come down from the heavens, because that to them is the ultimate football player. Oh, Percy Harvin. So yeah. LeBron, Marvin Harrison Jr., Percy Harvin, and the best ever are the conversation around Jeremiah Smith. And then, frankly, he didn't do that much. But, I guess I should say this for another show. I think the three best true freshman seasons in Ohio State history are Orlando Pace at left tackle, starting from the first game on. He was the Big Ten Freshman of the Year. Andy Katzenmoyer had 85 tackles and 12 sacks as a true freshman and was a second-team All-American. And Maurice Clarett running for 1,237 yards. I think they're the three best true freshman seasons. You and I already had a conversation about whether Jeremiah Smith's going to break Ohio State's freshman receiver receiving record. But I felt like that was too little. If we're going to start comparing him to LeBron, will he be the greatest 18-year-old in the history of the human race? I don't know. We got to talk about the guy. What have you thought of him all spring?
That nothing sounds hyperbolic if you watch him.
Then all of that sound. Yeah, you're like, yeah, no, LeBron, that's right. No, LeBron, yeah.
I mean, it's just
LeBron and Percy Harvin and Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah, that's it.
He made a catch at the practice we watched on Friday. And like, I know there was a video going around about it, but it was like from a weird angle. Like, it didn't do the catch justice. He went up over He went up over Denzel Burke in the end zone and like caught the ball with one hand. And I was standing on A deck watching it happen, and I did this. Like I couldn't, I put both hands on my head for anybody listening. Okay. Like I couldn't believe he made the catch. And like, we see it happen all the time when we're in practice and people talk about it all the time. They're putting out practice clips of things that we're not even at where he makes crazy catches. And they're just like, they're doing nothing to tamper the excitement. So why would I? I'm not going to do it either. And I know like the one thing I did see from the broadcast, like I didn't hear it. I saw someone, I think Kevin Harish tweeted it and said like, Ryan Day said, if Jeremiah is one-on-one, throw the ball, just throw the
yes.
ball. And like, that's the thing you're saying about a true freshman. So like, whatever, throw him the ball, I guess. He's going to lead the team in receiving.
Yeah. And they did. They tried to hit him a couple times in the red zone. It didn't work. So he's going to start. Like, I thought there was an interesting question from our guy, Spencer Holbrook, at the end about like receiver depth. Everybody is really in on this. 7 to 16 games. You're going to need 200 players to get through 16 games. It's like, okay, I think you're going to have to rotate a little bit more. And of course, the more games you play, the greater chances that somebody gets injured. But I think we've jumped the shark a little bit with the 16 games is going to require four times the amount of depth that we've ever seen before. But Emeka Ebuka, who did make a one-handed catch on Saturday, Carnell Tate, Jeremiah Smith are going to start. How do you feel coming out of spring about the next level of guys behind them in case they need them in certain situations or if somebody's abducted by aliens?
Yeah, I think they're still wanting to see more from Jaden Ballard. And Ryan Day said after the game that they did feel like Jaden Ballard was like coming on a little bit toward the end of spring. I know he didn't have a monster day today either. He had 2 catches for 7 yards. But he made a play in practice too when we were here the other day, like down the field, like play action pass, which I think is the kind of thing you want to see him do for this offense. So I think they need more from him. We did not see Brandon Ennis today. He has a boot on his right foot, I think it is. Ryan Day, again, said like that's not a long-term thing. It's like more of a precaution, like get it done now so you can have him for the season. So like I like the upside of Brandon Ennis. I think Jaden Ballard could give him something. I don't know, like Keon Grace, Kojo Antwi, I'm not 100% certain on what they might be able to do. And the other guy who's not to keep pumping up true freshmen, like Mylon Graham's not here yet. That's another 5-star freshman who's going to be in the mix by the time the camp rolls around. So like maybe he's a guy too. But like I don't know that I look at it as like a super deep receiving room, but it's pretty good. Like Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, Emeka Ebuka, Brandon Ennis. And then maybe get a fifth guy in that mix. Like, I think you're all right.
That top four is the best top four in the receiver group. I mean, that's what the 17-game season has caused us to do. It's like, does Ohio State have enough receiver depth? It's like, you mean the best position room in the country? If they don't have enough, does anybody have enough anywhere, right?
So I didn't mention Bryson Rogers when I just went on that spiel. He only had 1 catch today for 3 yards, and I think he dropped the pass too. But he is a guy who throughout spring practice and like every portion that we got to watch, I thought actually jumped out in a fairly significant way. So he can definitely help him this fall too.
So they needed you on the Fox broadcast. It was a fun show. Zero offensive line talk. None.
That's a bummer.
None. So. There was a late touchdown run. I think it might've been, no, it was Sam Williams-Dixon, I think. Late touchdown run up the middle. Urban did acknowledge this. He said, good blocking. But it felt like a thing that we didn't see Ohio State do very much last year. And like, it's what Michigan does better than anybody, right? It's that double team. And then the one guy peels off and goes to the second level. And it was Josh Padilla at center and Luke Montgomery at right guard. And they double teamed and Montgomery peeled off and got to the linebacker and created the hole. And it wasn't even like two spectacular blocks, but it was like, oh, this is how this is supposed to work. And I just reacted in a way that it was like, oh, I didn't see that at all last year. I don't know. Like, did you see an Ohio State guard double team and then get to the second level to help create a hole more than twice the entire season? Who's going to be the right guard?
I like kind of think it's going to be Josh Reier, and they're going to get a tackle out of the portal.
Okay. So this is the other thing that Urban said. And this is like Urban part, you know, Urban's up there and Urban's like, you know, I'm very close friends with Ryan Day. I'm very like, right. It's just like Urban, just like, my very close personal friend, Ryan Day, my very close personal is like, I hired Brian Hartline. It's like, we know you hired Brian Hartline. You also like hired Brian Hartline and had to promote him because the other guy that you hired, like, so He said at halftime, he said, like, if you think like this offensive line is getting exposed, you may have to go in the portal. And he was sort of a little lukewarm on the first half when the starters went on the offensive line. Do you come away from the spring game and 15 spring practices thinking more that they're going to go in the portal for an offensive lineman, less than you thought at the beginning of March? Or are you still signed up at the same spot, which is if there's somebody good there, they should probably go get him?
I probably feel a little more strongly that they're going to go look for somebody.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's just like they got through when spring ball started, and you can tell me if you disagree. When spring ball started, I thought it was like Luke Montgomery's going to be the right guard. Okay, like that's where we're at. Luke Montgomery's going to be the right guard this fall. And then, like, I asked Ryan Day about it a couple of days ago, and he said, like, oh, we're running a few guys through there. And then today we saw I don't even know if we saw Luke Montgomery take snaps with the first team offensive line. Now that I'm thinking about it, it opened with Tegra Shibola, and then Carson Hinson was there. And then I do think maybe Luke Montgomery was there too. So like they don't know. It seems to me like they don't know, and they're less clear than they were at the start of spring ball. Like, who ultimately is going to be the right guard for this team? And I think Ryan Day a couple times also has given himself the out of reminding us that Josh Fryer has played some guard this spring, even though we haven't seen it. That it has happened, and that they think he's going to be one of the four best linemen that they have right now, and they're trying to figure out who the fifth is. Which, like, I just think they're trying to set it up for, like, we're going to get a right tackle, we're going to play Josh Fryer right guard. So that's actually kind of what I hope they would do in the fall, mm-hmm. like, move Josh Fryer to guard, and then see if you have an answer at tackle on your roster, and if you don't, go get somebody. I'm not sitting here like, I can't believe this is where we're at. I just, like, started to change my mind a little bit based off how they were talking at the very beginning of spring, and now it kind of feels like we're back to square one with the offensive line, which is, again, I don't think, like, necessarily time to panic, but if Ryan Day had changed my mind at all about them looking for a transfer at the beginning of spring, like, I'm back on, I think they're going to go try to find somebody. Now, maybe somebody's not there, right? That doesn't mean that the guy they're looking for is necessarily going to be available, but if there's a good tackle in the portal, I think Ohio State's going to take a pretty big swing at that player.
This is the panic question that I would ask you related to that conversation. Who's Ohio State's third best tackle right now?
I don't know. George Fitzpatrick, maybe.
So this is one of those, it's like, okay, can you go win a national championship with Josh Simmons and Josh Fryer as your right tackles? And can you do that as your starting tackles, left and right tackle? And can you, between Carson Hinsman and Luke Montgomery and Tegra Shibola and some kind of group, like, figure out a way to patch it together at right guard? Probably, right? Mm-hmm. But I think you are, like, one in that scenario, I think you are potentially one injury away from possible disaster, especially at tackle.
Yeah.
And there was a play today. I'm not trying to call guys out, but everyone's trying their best. But I don't know that I'd ever really seen it before. There was a play. Zen Mihalski was a left tackle, and they kind of had, like, a little, like, overload on that side on the defensive line. And then there were, like, three guys over two, and then one dropped out. And then they got a rush on, and Zen Mihalski, like, got pushed backwards in a way that he was almost, like, stumbling out of the picture, which you don't normally see, like, tackles do. And I was just like, oh, man, what? I don't know. Like, I do think right now, if they had to go to their third tackle because something happened to Simmons or Fryer, I think it's possible that they would be potentially in some serious trouble.
Yeah, I think it would be. Well, they view Tegra Shibola as a tackle too. So, like, they would go to Tegra Shibola or George Fitzpatrick, or I don't know, even consider, like, moving Donovan Jackson to tackle. Maybe I don't know what they do there. It's not a great spot to be in. Like, I actually like what I've heard about George Fitzpatrick. Like, even going back to, like, the middle of last year, it does seem like he's on a pretty good trajectory. I don't know that he's quite ready to help you just yet. I think they probably need another tackle regardless, but it's a hard sell. Like, even if you think you have, you're starting off at five offensive linemen to go out and, like, try to recruit offensive line depth via the portal, I don't think is actually a winning proposition, because guys want to go places where they think they can start. But I do, like I said, if I do think if there's a starting caliber offensive tackle, that Ohio State will go after that player. It just wouldn't make any sense if they didn't, because they've so aggressively attacked every other deficiency that they feel like they've had. why would they kind of let that one stand pat? And I understand maybe not doing it prior to spring ball if you think you might have answers in some young players on your roster. But now that we've reached the end of spring ball and it doesn't really seem like that's the case, I think they're going to be aggressive about trying to correct that.
I did it last year. And it just would be crazy. Again, it's like if we have two consecutive springs where Josh Fryer all spring plays the position he doesn't wind up playing. Because last year he was a left tackle in spring. Then they went and got Josh Simmons and they make Josh Fryer the right tackle. Now he's the right tackle all spring and then I might go get a tackle and make him a guard. Okay. So a year ago, right before the season, I was in panic mode about the starting tackles. So I would say I'm only in panic mode about the backup tackles. But again, like offensive line health, I think is such a big deal. And they're talking about it. Chip Kelly said, you don't need five starters. You need 10. Right. Yeah. On the offensive line. He said that post game. And I said, I was sort of like, don't say that because I don't think Ohio State has 10 right now. Right. So not that anybody does, but like if you're starting to look for this is an absolute bona fide, no doubt about it, 100% national championship contender. If you start looking for like, where could that go wrong? Offensive line depth, I think, is very, very high on that list. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's pretty high. And I think like even if you wanted to do the exercise of like the 10 offensive linemen you feel best about on this roster, I think at most three of them are pure tackles. And the rest of the other seven are interior players.
Yeah. And like probably three of them are Tyleek Williams, Jack Sawyer, and JT Tuimoloa moving to offense.
Moving over.
defense is great. Mm-hmm. Jack Sawyer had a sack early where he just like plowed over Carson Hinsman. I was like, well, that looks pretty good. Jason Moore, like I think split, you know, people like, I think you can get to like almost a full 22 on defense feeling like awesome. It's like, do you feel awesome about if Calvin Simpson Hunt had to go out and play in a college football playoff semifinal tomorrow, how would you feel about that? You'd be like, good. I'm ready to go. And it's like, what is Calvin Simpson Hunt? Their sixth best corner. Like that's where they are defensively. Right. So like, and the very first question of the post game for Jim Knowles was about Taiwan Malone. It's like, what is Taiwan Malone? Right. Like he's the third or fourth defensive tackle. And it's like how far he came. I don't want to leave spring not acknowledging how great the defense is. But the reason I saved it is because we know how great this defense is. And I think Saturday only proved what we already thought we knew.
But I also think Saturday maybe enforced more about how good the depth is as well. Like of course they're good starting because they basically are bringing back their entire starting defense and the holes that they're filling with CJ Hicks and Sonny Styles playing linebacker. So everyone's super excited about that. And they bring in Caleb Downs to play safety. But like to see Calvin Simpson Hunt, to see like Jermaine Matthews, I think flash like playing nickel too. Like that's really exciting. Jalen McClain, like I hope that that was a sign of things to come and not a Kai Stokes situation where it's like that guy looked awesome as a true freshman in the spring game and like you just don't see him again for 2 years. But I thought he looked really good and I think like he and Jaden Bonsu both like took advantage of opportunities provided to them because like Lathan Ransom and Malik Hartford and Jahad Carter were all out this spring. Like everyone feels really good about the defense and like the starting safety Lathan Ransom was not out there. Like Malik Hartford, who I think is going to be a very good player here, someday also wasn't out there. Lorenzo Styles, who Ryan Day said had an excellent spring up until getting a procedure on his left arm a couple days ago, was said to have like I think could be a guy who like helps them this year as well. So I just don't really see any holes. Like the thing I'm wondering about with the defense is like just how much they're going to rotate because it seems like they have an opportunity to do it a lot if they want to.
Yeah, great. Y'all getting Knowles' system down. They were talking a lot. Was this a new conversation? They're talking a lot about this during the broadcast, and they had Knowles on about one word calls for the defense that, like, as he sets the defense, it's just one word, and that tells everybody what they're supposed to do on that play and helps keep it simple. Had you heard that specific discussion very much before?
Yeah, that's he brought that here. I remember the first coach's clinic that he was a part of. He was running through some stuff and like all of his plays were one word play calls. Yeah.
The two that he said, if this helps, one was Ohio and one was Lambeau that he said during the broadcast because Joel Klatt was interviewing him while the defense was on the field. And he was like simultaneously doing an interview and calling the defense. Okay.
Yeah. Ryan Day does that too. Offensively. This is a post game show, but like the coaching clinic was leading up to this. And Ryan Day actually like did some chalk talk sessions for the first time in a few years. And he said, like, when I was with the 49ers, if my pass concepts were something that was like attacking underneath coverage, I just went with under the sea animals, and I would call it like tuna or shark or stingray. So like, and that's kind of how their offensive playbook is set up now. Mm-hmm. So like, the one word play call thing is not specific, I think, to Ohio State's defense.
I thought you were going to say that if it was underneath stuff and it was under the sea characters from Little Mermaid, and it's like Sebastian, Flounder. Ariel left, right? Wouldn't that be great? Prince Eric. Last thing, Urban Meyer's wisdom. He said he thinks Ohio State might be as talented as any team of the last 6 or 7 years. Do you want to dispute that?
No.
So I like, we're getting back. Like, I think we're getting back to like 19 LSU, right? And obviously like 21 Georgia defensively, but like not both sides of the ball. I think we're getting back to 19 LSU when we're talking about that.
Yeah. Without the, I mean, they don't have their quarterback's not going to go number one overall, but yeah. Depth of talent. I think they're in the conversation. Yeah.
All right. Last quiz. Urban had 8 teams that he thinks can take a swing for a national title this year. Mm-hmm. Who were they? Name them.
So Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon, Texas.
Ohio, yes.
Correct. And then it got a little tricky for me. Michigan?
Yes.
Penn State?
No.
Okay. Ole Miss?
Yes.
See, like I didn't think he would say like Florida State or Clemson.
Nope.
I don't think he'd say anybody out of the ACC.
No. Nope.
I kind of feel like he would say Utah because he loves Kyle Whittingham.
Utah. And then the obvious one that maybe not that may not be true, but he's just going on rep.
Alabama.
So that's 3 from the Big Ten, Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, 4 from the SEC, Georgia, Bama, Texas, Ole Miss, and 1 from the Big 12 in Utah. You and I both love Utah. We both think Utah's going to win the Big 12. When he said 8, I said, okay, well, it's got to be Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, Oregon, and assuming that he would say Alabama, whether Alabama deserves it or not. I was a little surprised he put Michigan there. And Ole Miss, again, like I've gone back and forth on buying the transfer hype there or not buying the transfer hype. But I actually think like if that's your group of 8, I actually think there's a top tier within that 8, right? That probably is what we've been talking about, which is Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, Oregon, maybe.
Yeah, I would separate those 4. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else to report live from the press box, live at the spring game, how everything's going, how everybody's feeling, just the vibes there at Ohio Stadium?
No, I think we covered it. I'm trying to think, looking through my notes and the stats here to see if there's anything we didn't cover. I don't know. Like, I see we talked about the defense kind of generally. Like, I continue to like what we're seeing out of CJ Hicks. He ended up leading the defensive tackles with 8. And I also like that we saw a little bit of like CJ and Sonny together maybe too. So I find the linebacker room to be very interesting. I think it's incredibly deep and super athletic. Maybe it's as athletic as it's been in my time covering the team. And there have been like I saw Malik Harrison down on the field, like Baron Browning was down there. It was like a reminder of that they've had some pretty freaking athletic guys come through that position group. But this one, I think, has the opportunity to be pretty special. And Ryan Day's talked about that a lot too, like just the length, the physicality, the range of that room. So my only question with them is like, how many of them are actually going to play? Cause they've been pretty rigid with their linebacker reps. It's like kind of been 2, sometimes 3. Last year was like more 3, but I think like with Arvell Reese emerging and even like a Gabe Powers, they might have the opportunity to play 5 if they want to. So I'm kind of curious what that might look like come fall, but that was like the only position group I think that was even like remotely a question mark coming into the spring, and I kind of don't feel like it is one as we exit spring.
Last thing, and again, you were texting this stuff out to our tech subscribers during the course of the game with the looming transfer of Dallin Hayden. You know that running back room. The top 2 guys are as good as any 1-2 punch in the country, but then you're down to walk-ons and true freshmen otherwise. But James Peoples, Sam Williams-Dixon, like showing some stuff today. How do you feel about the depth in the running back room after spring?
I kind of feel like they should add one only because you just get to true freshmen and walk-ons rather quickly if you don't. That said, like I like James Peoples a lot. I thought he was pretty impressive today. Sam Williams Dixon had a nice game. They really like TC Caffey. Like, Ryan Day was asked about that on Wednesday, and he said, look, we want to have five, and we have five. And he was including TC Caffey in that conversation. But this is the one situation, and also Ohio State's track record with getting running backs injured, where, like, I actually buy the we're playing 17 games, we're going to need a lot of guys stuff a little bit more. So if they can go get a more experienced, like, semi-productive guy to throw into that room and maybe be your third running back, I'd feel a little bit better about where they're at. But I could see them standing pat, too, because I really do think they like both the freshmen.
All right. So thanks to everybody for joining us here on the postgame show. I've been out. I had emergency eye surgery last week, but I'm back. So we expect to be back to full strength, normal schedule on Kings of the North. So we would invite you to join us this week on that. A bunch of spring games today. Penn State's is today. Purdue, Pitt, Cincinnati, Utah. We have a lot of other northern teams to talk about. And we may brush on some of the southern teams that are having their spring games today. Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, a lot of teams like that. And yeah, we're sorry I kind of haven't been around, but obviously Bill and Austin and Berman have been holding down the fort, and I'm just glad to be back talking some ball. For now, we'll let Bill Landis get out of the press box there before he gets kicked out. Once again, thanks to everybody for making the podcast part of your week. He's Bill. I'm Doug. And that was the Ohio State Spring Game Postgame Show on the podcast.